Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today with the wonderful part of the book of Revelation, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19 and verse 6. But remember, we've been talking about your future. We talked about what's in your future. You're going to be changed from glory to glory. You're going to be prepared for preparation. Presentation day. We talked about the catching away of the church, the rapture, yesterday, 1 Thessalonians 4. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. And now we're at the marriage supper. We've come by all that, and we're at the marriage supper. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, I can't help myself, I have to do this. Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Our marriage music. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. We, the church of the living God, are his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He's the head, we're the body. We are one with him. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Folks, in that 7 years, we will be taking part in the various aspects of the 7-day Jewish wedding at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, how glorious it will be. Verse 10, John says, I fell at his feet to worship him. He's just overcome with what he saw at the marriage supper. But he has a guide taking him through heaven, which is probably a person, not an angel, but a person. For listen to what that guide says. I am thy fellow, he tells him, don't worship me. Verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now we have a scene change. We have been in heaven. We now have a scene change, and we're going. Well, it's very self-explanatory. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, Faithful and True. He's coming on a white horse. His eyes are as a flame of fire. He's coming to judge and make war. Now, when he came for us, he came for love. He met us in the air. We went up with him. We went to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now the marriage supper is over, and we have been espoused to him. And he's coming back now down to heaven to complete what's been happening on the earth down here. He's on a white horse, faithful and true. He has a name written, no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who wears this fine linen, white and clean? The saints, the bride. Verse 8, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. He's on a white horse. They're on white horses. Folks, this is not an allegory. This is truth. There are heavenly white horses. If it's not symbolic, if it is symbolic, the Bible will lead you to know that it's symbolic. This is a sign of something. This is a symbol of something. But these are white horses. So no matter what you've heard in some eschatology class, These are actual white horses. Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, again, I have to quote her because she had so many experiences. And she was one of the ones, I think the one, who prophesied to Brother Hagin more than any other person. He could sniff her out in a meeting. A woman of prayer, a prophetess. Sister Jeannie Wilkerson loved to pray, and she loved to pray kneeling. She broke her leg. She was so sad on her way to the hospital with that broken leg, and her first thought was, I can't kneel to pray. She looked outside the window of her car in the Tulsa traffic. Someone else was driving, of course, and there she saw a white horse galloping along beside her, a beautiful white, heavenly horse. And the Lord said, this is your white horse. He will be with you until you can bend your knee again. She went on to the hospital. I went to her house. She had a beautiful home, quite a well-to-do lady. And outside of the den of her house, there were big glass doors, and there was a beautiful lawn area. And she told me that he stayed there. The white horse stayed there and grazed upon that lawn all the time until she could kneel again. And the Lord said to her things about him while he was there. He said to her, you think you have personalized things on earth, personalized shirts, personalized towels. He said, heaven is totally personalized for you. Even your white horse is personalized for you. It is gated by your walk upon the earth. If you followed me closely, and he told her, he said, your horse is spirited. Oh, if you knew Sister Wilkerson, you knew she was spirited. So, of course, she would have a spirited steed. And he said, if someone follows me closely on earth, then they will be close up to me in the ranks behind me in the armies of the Lord. But if they followed from afar, then their horse would be gated slower and they will be in the back row. Well, I meet so many saints of God that I don't know that I could be up in the front row, but I don't want to be in the back row. I'm following him as closely as I can, and I do have a white horse who is gated according to my following, and you have one too, and we are behind him. The armies, verse 14, which were in heaven followed him. We're not here on earth. There's a false teaching called, among other things, they call it, I don't know what, but one of the most recent names they called it was Kingdom Now. And it was with a belief that we are going to establish the kingdom on the earth. We're going to bring in righteousness. And if we are, we're sure doing a bad job of it. But it's not true. It's not a true doctrine. And so according to that doctrine, we would get the earth all changed and all wonderful and all glorious. And then we would present it to him. Well, that's not the truth. The church is one of his armies, and it doesn't say that we're on the earth, the armies which were in earth. It says the armies which were in heaven followed him. Well, he's got angelic armies, and he's got a church army, and he's got hailstones armies. So here we are, and we are up on white horses, following him, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. It's referred to us up in verse 8 as clothed in this. Now, as he's coming out, remember his eyes are filled with fire, and he's coming to judge and make war. We're with him. Verse 15, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations on earth. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. We also saw this in Revelation 12:5. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The last judgment, the last pressing of the grapes is going on. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. He's going down to the battle of Armageddon. He's going down where the Antichrist has, among other things, circled Jerusalem. And, of course, the war is throughout that nation as he thinks the Antichrist and Satan are rid of the church. and they think that they can get rid of the Jews. So he circled them in one last opportunity. He thinks he's going to defeat them. But Jesus on his white horse and us coming behind them, we're headed to that battle of Armageddon, Har-Megiddo, and of course all the area of Israel. He's summoning the birds to come because there's going to be a lot of flesh to clean up. I have a new house. Over my house fly eagles and vultures. They clean up things, those vultures. They have a job to do and they do it. And God is saying, come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God. Now, this could happen in the spring. It could happen in the fall. It could happen whenever. But there are two times when all the birds of Europe and Asia migrate south to Africa for the winter or migrate north over the flyways and the thermals. The big birds ride those thermals over Israel. So they may have been summoned already by God at a certain time of the year, but he summons them. Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, on and on, small and great. Now, verse 10, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, the kings of the earth under the Antichrist are gathered. And of course, the beast is the Antichrist. And verse 30, and the beast was taken, he's captured, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The region of the damned is divided into the pit, the abyss, the lake of fire, and right away, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the war on the earth, now you can see this also in another place. You can see this in Zechariah chapter 12 and Zechariah chapter 14, and we're going to look at those tomorrow. You might want to read them tonight. That's your homework. Read Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, and look at it as you look at this last part of the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation and see how they fit together because they are talking about the same war. And we'll come back tomorrow and we'll look at it together. But it would be a good thing for you to do tonight. And this is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom until tomorrow. If you want to see more about us, go to billybrim.org, billybrim.org. You can write to us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or phone us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying, I'm so glad you're with us for this wonderful part of the book of Revelation, and we will be back tomorrow. Shalom.